Hello and welcome to Hunt the Critic, a 12th Pier Productions program. I'm your host, Michael L. Roberts, and I'm joined, as usual, by film critic and connoisseur, Samuel Hunt. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing Olivier Assayas's Personal Shopper, starring Kristen Stewart. First up, then, here's your trailer taste.
What are you doing in Paris?
I'm waiting. My twin brother Louis died here. We made this oath. Whoever died first would send the other a sign.
From the afterlife.
Louis. You here? Just me.
Samuel, over to you.
Okay, so I was faced with a decision early on this week. There were a lot of movies coming out, but none of them really captured my imagination. I didn't think I'd be able to have many interesting things to say about them. They were a lot of 2D American action films. And just sort of fading out in the cinema is this film called Personal Shopper, which, don't be misled by the title. As we said, it sounds like a sort of Lindsay Lohan extravaganza, but it's not. It's an incredibly personal and insightful film by Olivier Assayas, who has previously worked with Kristen Stewart, who is the lead actress in this, previously worked with Kristen Stewart on a film called The Clouds of Sils Maria from 2014. Which I went to see with someone who hated it. I liked it a little bit more. It was Kristen Stewart and Juliette Binoche. It was one of those films where the concept was really interesting, and what you needed was the plot to then deliver the concept and really hammer it home. And it was one of those films that sort of ended without really concluding very well what it had been talking about, and ended up sort of meandering off onto, you know, it became too wrapped up in its subject matter. So I was really keen to see what he was going to do second time around, working with Kristen Stewart, who I absolutely love, and yeah, who is perfect for this kind of role. So let me tell you a little bit about the plot. Basically, as the title would suggest, Kristen Stewart is a personal shopper for a rich socialite. She's based in Paris, and her twin brother has recently died. Her twin brother Louis has recently died of a heart condition that she also has, and she could die of from, you know, at any time. It just so happened that he's died really recently, very suddenly. And because they had this condition, they made a promise to each other when they were younger that whoever died first, the one who had died would send a message from the afterlife. So they were both very interested in spiritualism.
Right.
So she is in Paris working for this socialite in this vacuous job that she really doesn't like, while at the same time she's obsessed with finding some kind of indication from her deceased brother that there is an afterlife and that he is at peace in that afterlife. So she's looking for signs everywhere. She goes and visits his old house, and she comes across what she believes to be a spirit there, but she's not sure if it's his spirit. It certainly doesn't seem like it. And then at the same time, when she goes to visit her client, her client's boyfriend is there, and he expresses an interest in Kristen Stewart. And shortly after that encounter, she starts to receive these weird text messages from an unknown number who seem to know uncannily. The number seems to know all her movements, and the texts become increasingly menacing. And obviously she wants to believe that it's her twin brother trying to contact her, but the kind of messages that she's getting don't suggest that. And then there's a murder happens. That's not a plot spoiler, it's actually in the trailer. Her client gets murdered, and she's unsure of whether the spirit did it or whether her client's ex-boyfriend did it, and it just sort of plays out like that. But the main focus point of the film is her constantly having to question You know, when a plate falls off the side of the worktop in the kitchen, is it just a plate slipping, or is it a sign from the afterlife?
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
Kristen Stewart is one of those actresses who she's great at playing characters who always seem to be, they always seem to be holding something back. So there's always like one side of them that's thinking something, and you're always wondering what that is. She has a very kind of rock and roll, kind of gothic look, which, you know, she's, it's funny in this film because she's playing a personal shopper and she's out there like choosing all these, you know, dresses and stuff. And really she just looks at home in like a Lou Reed t-shirt or something, right, you know, which right. is what she was wearing in another one of her movies. And so you have to kind of get over the idea that Kristen Stewart, who, you know, literally just wears t-shirts the whole time, is being able to pick out all these extravagant dresses stuff. Yeah. So, you know, you have to get over that slightly. That's probably the only part of the movie that betrays, you know, her normal character.
Right.
But throughout the film, what she manages to do very well is hold those two opposing senses of you know, reality and fantasy, you know, in mind at once. So she's enough, she's assured of herself enough to know that she is, you know, she's in the real world, and she wants to believe she's getting contacted from the spirit world, but she doesn't completely let herself go to that idea. She questions, you know, when she gets the text messages, she doesn't instantly assume that it's a ghost. She questions whether it's a ghost or whether it's real. And as an audience, what we have to be aware of is that obviously she wants to believe in the afterlife, because that's where, you know, she wants to believe her brother is, and she wants to believe that she's being contacted from the afterlife because she wants to know her brother's at peace. So as an audience member, constantly you're having to assess each and every potential piece of contact from the afterlife, because you know you're seeing it through Kristen Stewart's eyes.
Right,
she wants to believe that, whereas you as an audience member have to be slightly more impartial. You know, you know, I'm a big fan of Darren Brown, and he always says, you know, the easiest people to hypnotize, and especially, you know, when they used to hold seances, people who came wanted to believe in it. That was why they were there, you know, and those people are always much easier to convince. If you want to see something and someone puts that little suggestion in your mind and gives you, you know, moves a table or something, you know, if they think they might have noticed you doing some sleight of hand, they will forgo that, and they'll forget that, you know, in favor of believing in the afterlife, because that's what they want to believe in. So I think that, yeah, Kristen Stewart she treads that line very, very well. In Clouds of Sils Maria, where I said that I thought it got a little bit wrapped up in its own idea, this film has a much stronger plot line. And what it does is it uses you know, certain focal points in the plot to progress the idea, you know, as well as keeping you wrapped up in, you know, what is essentially a ghost story. You know, this is a film, you know, about ghosts, and it's certainly a film that, you know, has a strong belief in the existence of ghosts. And what it does by treading that line really carefully is it manages to keep you, you know, wrapped up in both the idea and the plot to the end. And I think it concludes a lot better than The Clouds of Sils Maria did, you know, on whether it was fiction or reality that she was experiencing.
On that point, would you agree that there was a trend several years ago towards unresolved film endings? And to what extent does Personal Shopper succeed where Sils Maria failed in that regard, in terms of plot resolution?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was a trend. And also, you know, especially with these two films, The Clouds of Sils Maria, as I said, it kind of lost its way, you know, in a plot sense. But at the same time, I think it was one of those films that created so many like questions throughout the movie that it was never ever going to be able to really wrap up exactly what it was talking about. And it was never quite clear what it's, you know, I was talking about Personal Shopper. It's that constant thing. Is it in Kristen Stewart's head? You know, or is it actually happening? That's the central question. The Clouds of Sils Maria, there was never that central question. So when it just ended, you know, it was like you're just sitting in the cinema and it looks like someone's just cut the reel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, sorry, projectionist, could you put on could you put the movie back on? Because that cannot be the ending, you know, because it's not an ending. It's just, it hasn't ended because it hasn't resolved it. So that was that. In that case, it was really annoying. But I think people will make the mistake with Personal Shopper of saying, oh, it was an unresolved ending, because it did have that same kind of ending where it's not, you know, it's not clear that the ending's coming and then the film ends. And I was ready for it because I know this director and I was like, I know he's going to do exactly the same thing. So I got to be prepared for the film just to end, you know,
because
when you're getting to the end of a film and you're like, I need to pay more attention now because it's about to end.
Yeah, yeah.
With these films, sometimes you could be like taking a sip of your drink or something and not really paying attention to the dialogue. And then the credits start rolling and you're like, shit, that was the end. You know, I should have paid more attention. So I was ready for it this time. And I think the biggest distinction that I can make is that in a film like this, where the idea and that central question that I talked about is the focal point of the whole movie, the ending happens at the resolution of that question. It doesn't happen necessarily, and that's not always tied to the plot, you know. So the film is not reliant on, it's not a case of, okay, this is the end of the story, and so this is the end of the film. It's a case of, once we've answered the question, or once we've, you know, asked another question, which kind of answers the question, as is the way that, you know, literature and films work. Once we've done that, then that's what we wanted to say, and that's the end of the film. You know, so from a plot perspective, the film doesn't necessarily end at a natural stopping point. But from an idea perspective, I think this film wraps up so much better, its central concept.